and by saying, you know what, it is great to be back. Being gone 2 weeks was really a challenge, but I want to tell you something. I love this church. I really, and when I'm talking about a church, you know, we're in a school, I guess, you know, well, this isn't the church, and we're building a building, and it's going well. Got a lot of work done. I got to see some pictures this morning of more work being done over there, and being gone, it's amazing. But when I say I love the church, what I'm talking about is I love you guys. I mean, you guys need to understand that. You guys are a special people to me. You're my family. My heart beats for you, and I'm just so proud of who you are, what you've become, and what we're doing as a church, and who you stand for. I mean, I take off for 2 weeks, and people just step up and take care of everything. I come in and got it all decorated nice. I didn't know you guys were going to do all this, and I hope somebody recorded the program from last week. I challenged them to, because I wanted to see it, because I heard nothing but great things about it, and I really want to see that and see that. And I'm just so proud of the church. But you guys are the church. It's not this stuff, and it's not this building. It's you guys, and I'm just proud of who you are and what you do, and I want you to know I really do love you, and there's something special here. There really is. You know, we might not be one of these large metro churches or mega churches, but there's something special. We love one another. We care about one another. We have the best wishes for one another, and I really appreciate that. We had a great time at the State Youth Conference. You know, Laura and I drove cross country. Just a really quick note, I know where hell is, okay? Anybody want to know where hell is? I can tell you where it's at now. I've discovered it. It is somewhere between San Antonio and El Paso, all right? You got 500 miles of nothing. If you're lucky, you might get two radio stations. Sometimes you get none. You have no cell phone. You know, and it's like, what happens if my car breaks down? There is no cell phone. And there's gas, and it's $3.75 a gallon. I mean, it's like, oh, wow. I mean, you don't want to drive from El Paso to San Antonio. I mean, that's just, it's hell, all right? You know, it's a long ride. But I'm just so excited about what God is doing. But we had a great, Laura and I race back home. We come back to the State Youth Conference and have a wonderful time with the kids. And I don't know how many kids made decisions that one afternoon, one evening. They gave an invitation. And literally, there's a little over 1,000 kids there. We split it this year, north and south. And there must have been hundreds of kids that went forward. Am I right, guys? Was there look like hundreds of kids that went forward and made decisions for Christ? And that's what it's all about. And I'm standing in the front, and the guy says, if you love Jesus, raise your arm. And I'm standing in the front looking over the audience, and here's his arms with just a sea of arms raised up for God. And it's just exciting to see what God is doing. But I'm proud of our church because we get there. One of the ladies that Laura and I work with at the state offices here in California at our convention had her granddaughter with her. And her granddaughter that morning had accepted the Lord. But her granddaughter was getting bored of hanging around grandma at the booth, all right? You can imagine that. And so Laura and I were talking, and Laura was talking, and said, hey, she can join our group. And so our group just enveloped this 11-year-old girl that ran around with them and just had a great time with them. And just she was really a blessing to our group, and they had fun with her. We really enjoyed her really well because yesterday afternoon, they had a suite we got to go eat dinner in. And so we had this marvelous room, 14 floors high, overlooking everything. It's great. I'm proud of the church. I'm proud of our kids that step up. And just here's this little girl that needed a group to run around with. And they just come on in and join our group. And you guys are wonderful people. But here's the problem. We're a messy people. All right? I mean, if you would have went into some of the rooms in the hotel room, yeah, there were some messy kids. All right? We're just a messy people. And that's what I want to talk about. You know, we get somebody that walks into church. You know, here's a spiritual person looking, trying to seek some spiritual things in life. And they walk into church and they look around and they see people and they call them hypocrites because they're messy. See, Christianity's messy. See, I say I want to be like Christ. I want to live like Christ. I want to act like Christ. And yet, when I try to live that life, I fail in so many ways. I have faults. I'll give you the big word. It's a big word, but it's only three letters. The word is called sin. You get somebody who's outside the church, and they look in, and they walk in, and they see a bunch of people who say they're Christians. But they're messy. There's sin. Even in the church. There's sin. That's what I want to talk about over the next few weeks. I want us to think about that the church is a messy place. And it's messy because we're a mess. And I gave three titles there. I'm messed up, you're messed up, we're messed up. You know, we're just messy people. But it's not new to the church. I got a video I'm going to show you in just a minute. But it goes back, you read the Bible, and all through the Bible, you start with Moses, and he had a bunch of messy people. He's trying to lead 2 million people through the desert, and they're all fighting and bickering. I want to go home. I want better water. I don't like this food. It's just messy people. But it's all throughout the Bible. Here's a little video clip of a church that's trying to find some home group leaders. And I just love this video clip. Watch this with me.
Next up, King David.
Thanks for coming, King David. What qualifies you to be our next small group leader?
Well, what was that word you used before my name?
King?
Yeah, king, right. How many of those am I up against?
My strengths. Plagues. I'm pretty good with the staff.
Can't decide who gets the last brownie? Cut it in two. Boom. Wisdom.
Parting large bodies of water. Desert survival skills.
Weaknesses.
Mountain climbing. Commandment retrieval.
Does that look weak to you?
And I can make a pretty mean goat sausage.
Okay, I mean, maybe haircuts. Women. Whose isn't?
So I lied. I said my wife was my sister. They were gonna kill me. Why are we even getting into this?
I'm just not sure we're comfortable with you in a leadership position.
Look,
Jesus Christ himself called you Satan.
He was trying to make a point.
Get thee behind me, Satan, I believe is the exact quote.
Bathsheba. I knew you were going to go there.
It was a rock to the back of the head. I really regret that it happened.
And that's when you slept with the maid?
My wife said she was fine with it.
Abraham.
What?
Come on.
Okay, timeline. First I slept with his wife.
No. I didn't kill Christians.
Then I lied to him.
I was just watching people's coats.
Then I had him killed, okay?
They killed Christians.
It's a long time ago.
Besides, that was a different guy. That was Saul.
I've never killed anyone. What? You got somebody giving you beef? Huh? You need something taken care of? Where's the app? Yo, bring it, huh?
Didn't you deny Christ 3 times?
No.
Nah, I'm pretty sure you did.
No.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
No.
Okay, I did.
No, never killed anyone. Why would you even ask that question?
This is the guy.
Hold on, I mean, I do have some questions about my qualifications. I've never been to seminary.
Oh, you'll do fine.
I really don't have a whole lot of experience.
Do you love God?
Yeah.
Do you want to help people?
Sure.
Do you have a harem?
No, I don't have a harem.
All right, we're good then. Thank you.
Let me think about this.
Oh, wait a second. Look who has them. Still got the tablets.
I love the video. We're messed up. I mean, you know, we look at the church and we have this image of perfect people gathering around. These perfect people who love God and who are serving God and the sin is all in the past. And then we hear these stories. And I want to talk about, we're messed up. You know, we live messed up lives. We wrestle with sin. We wrestle with life. And yet, for some reason, the world doesn't see the church that way. So I want to challenge us. How do we do this? How do we walk this path? How can we communicate to ourselves and to the world what true Christianity is all about? And so what I want to look at, I'm going to look at a guy in the Bible, a guy named Jonah. Anybody know the story of Jonah? Anybody? Anybody know the story of Jonah? Come on, some of you guys aren't raising your hands. All right, I see a few more hands out there. Well, I want us to think about this guy named Jonah. And if you're familiar with the story, I'm going to kind of tweak it a little bit because I'm not going to go the traditional thing that says, do what God says, you're going to get swallowed by a fish. I'm not going to do that. I want us to think about Jonah's attitude. I want us to look at the man, Jonah, and what's going on and how it plays out. You know, it's not about do God's will. So we're going to look at Jonah and kind of see what he has to say. I want to encourage you to get your little outline out. We got some scriptures we're going to go over, and we're going to kind of see what it says here. Because as we look at Jonah, you know, he's a man of God. He was a prophet. When he shows up here, when the book of Jonah, it's not his first appearance. Okay, Jonah had a history with God, all right? It's not Jonah just showing up on the scene all of a sudden. Jonah was a prophet of God. He had preached before. Here, look at the scripture here. I'm going to have to work on that font a little bit better, aren't I? That font's not real good. So you got it on your outline there, so let's kind of follow along. Jeroboam, now just so you know, Jeroboam was a king in Israel, won back Israel's borders from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea. Okay, this king conquered back the borders. This happened as the Lord, the God of Israel, had said through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. All right? So Jonah was already well known to God. Jonah had been used by God. Before we get to the story of Jonah, before we read what happens in Nineveh, we got to understand that Jonah was already a man of God. Jonah was serving God. Jonah had made a prophecy of what God was doing. That prophecy had come true. He was in work and he was ministering just as God had called him to minister. He's an 8th century prophet. If you read your Bible, you find some other minor prophets called Amos and Hosea. It's about the same time. You know, these guys all overlap. It's not like one sequential thing. These guys kind of overlap. And now, so Jonah's raised in the city called, what is that city, Gath-Hepher? He's raised there, and it's just a little outside of Nineveh. All right, it'd be like, we're in Salida, and that's Modesto. He's kind of like just outside of Nineveh. So he knows the city. He's familiar with the city. And God comes once again to him. He says, okay, I used you once. I want to use you again. But I want to make sure you get a picture here. Jonah is a man of God. Would you agree? You guys agree? Jonah's a man of God. He's serving God. He's already been used by God. And so God knows he's got a guy that's on his side. He's got a guy that's on his team. He's got a guy that's with him. And so God says, I got another message. I got to have a message for Nineveh. I got a guy I'm going to send there. His name is Jonah. And so we look at 1 Jonah chapter 1. Look at what it says here. The Lord spoke to his words to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because I see the evil things they do. God appears to Jonah and says, okay, Jonah, I got more I want you to do. You were successful here. I want to use you over here. Pack your bags and let's go. And so God comes up with a message for Jonah, a man of God. I'm going to keep coming back to that. All right, Jonah is a man. We'd call Jonah today a Christian. He's a man of God. He's serving God. And God says, I got more for you to do. Well, I think you know the story here. Jonah has different ideas. I want you to look at what this passage says. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's stop there for a minute. God had a message for this man of God. God had a task for this man of God. He's sending the man of God to Nineveh to preach. But Jonah doesn't want to go. Matter of fact, why don't you circle these words or underline these words from the presence of God? Jonah's sitting here saying, I don't want to go, so I'm going to flee the presence of God. Now, I want to ask you this. How stupid's that? I mean, where can you go to get away from God? Anybody got an idea? Anybody? I mean, even if I'm somewhere between San Antonio and El Paso, God's there. It might not look like it, but he's there. There is no place. I'm going, Jonah, you're a man of God. You're serving God. God wants you to go somewhere, and you're going to try to run and hide from God. Now, I'm not going to make this point very long, but I want to just kind of a little side note here. Just to give you a hint, if you're trying to hide from God, give it up. Just throw your arms up right now and say, God, I surrender, because there is nowhere you can go and hide. Could Adam and Eve hide from God? Jonah can't hide from God. There's nowhere you can go to hide from God. You know, people try to hide from God. God comes along and says, hey, I want you to work with the children in the children's ministry. What do people do? I want you to work with the youth and go to a youth conference and deal with 1,000 teenagers. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, it is a blessing, though. Yeah. I want you to get baptized. I want you to cross that line and accept me as your Lord and Savior. But I'm going to hide from God. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to open my Bible. I'm not going to pray. I'm going to hide from God. Yeah, that's how people hide from God, isn't it? You can't hide from God. And I'm not going to go there because that's what a lot of people take the story of Jonah and just go that way. I don't want to go that way. I want to look at Jonah. Jonah's trying to hide from God. He went down and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go to them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Again, it's like, I'm going to get away from God. Just to give you, don't hide from God. It don't work. You can let your Bible collect all the dust you want. God's not going to give up on your heart. All right? You can say, I'm not going to talk to God anymore. I'm going to tell you, God will convict you. And you don't even have to talk to him. Anybody know what I'm talking about besides me? Yeah. You can't hide from God. And so here's Jonah trying to hide from God. I want to make sure you know, as we're getting into this story, because we're going to turn into a really interesting point here, this is no fable. This is no metaphor. This is no hyperbole. This is a true story. Here's a man of God trying to hide from God. Can Christians try to hide from God today? Do Christians try to hide from God today? We need to step back and realize he's starting down this messed up road. He's beginning to go down this messed up life, and he's journeying down this life, and God spoke, and he says, I want to go the other way. So Jonah jumps on this ship, and you know what happened? He jumps on the ship, they set sail. Things turn bad real fast. Things mess up real quick. Look at what it says. Then Jonah said to them, well, let me kind of set the stage here. They're sailing across this Mediterranean Sea. The waters become rough. The sea's bouncing around. I'd be hanging on the side chumming the fish is what I would be doing. You know, I mean, this boat is just bouncing. I mean, you know, the waves are swamping the boat. And Jonah's kind of sleeping. He's down in the hold, taking a nap. And now I want to make sure you understand, these are professional sailors. They were not novice to the Mediterranean Sea. They knew how to sail ships. They knew when storms came. They knew how to deal with all of this. And now they're in the midst of a tragic storm. And now they're trying to figure out what's going on in this. Then Jonah said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. I like this passage again, because here, I want you to look at this. What does Jonah say about God here? I fear the Lord. Underline that again. I'm going to keep you guys busy this morning. Here's a man of God running from God, and yet he still says what? I fear the Lord. I'm trying to hide from God. I'm trying to do what God doesn't want me to do, but I still fear you, God. Do we see any of that kind of stuff today? You know, God, I love you, but I'm not going to do what you want me to do. You know, God, I'm not going to cross that line of salvation. God, I'm not going to get baptized. God, I'm not going to go work with the children. God, I'm not going to go work with the youth. I'm not going to go to the state youth conference. I'm not going to go pass out flyers. I'm not going to go clean the streets. I'm not going to go work at the gospel mission. God, I love you, but... Can good Christians tell God no? Yes. That's why I say we're messed up. No, Jonah was a prophet of God, but he told God no. And he still says, I fear the Lord. See, as Christians, we can sit down and say, I love you, Lord, and still rebel against God. That's why we're messed up. And see, here's this sea, and the people are wondering what's going on and why is all this. I love this next verse. Look at this next one, too. Look what's going on. The men were very afraid, and they asked Jonah, what terrible thing did you do? What did you do? They're looking at the sea, going to drown them, going to sink them, and they're going, you fear God? What did you do? I think it's interesting. Here's guys who aren't Christians. Guys who believe in God, but they're not walking with God, know that something's wrong. That God's not happy. what did you do? They knew he was running from the Lord because he had told them. I can imagine Jonah getting on the boat, buying his ticket. Hey, I need a ticket to Tarshish. God spoke to me and says he wants me to go to Nineveh, and I don't want to go. Give me a ticket. I got to get out of here. Yeah. I don't know how it went down, but Jonah's sitting there saying, you know, I'm getting out of here. And so these guys wondering what's going on. What did you do, and what happened, and what are we going to do? And they were afraid. And you know the story. You know how it goes from here. I'm not going to read all the passages. You can read it yourself. Basically, the first chapter of Jonah. You know, and it's like, okay, what are we going to do? And Jonah says, you're going to just have to throw me overboard. I think that's real interesting. Jonah didn't volunteer to jump. He said, you got to throw me. I'm going to run from God, but you got to throw me into the sea. Yeah. He's messed up. He's in this messed up situation. He's messed up his life. God says, do this. Jonah says, no, I'm going over here. And he's all messed up. What's interesting, too, you want to know? Not only is his life messed up, he's messed up others' lives. You know, we think sin is only about me. See, we think sin is only about what I do. Oh, it's not going to affect anybody else. Oh, it's not going to bother anybody else. It's just me. I can have an affair. It just affects me. I can smoke this joint. I can drink this over here. I can go over here because it's just about me. I can turn that porn on because it's just about me. But I want to tell you, sin doesn't just affect you. It messes up everybody. Jonah's running from the Lord, and everybody's getting in a mess because of Jonah. See, we need to see this. It's messed up, and we know what's going on, and Jonah won't even jump in. And they do everything. They don't want to throw Jonah in the water. If you read the story, they don't want to throw him in. They work harder, it says. They strive harder. They're trying to get across, trying to find safe harbor. But they couldn't do it, so they pick Jonah up and throw Jonah overboard, finally. Jonah hits the water. The water goes calm. That's what it says. Yeah. So Jonah's in the water. And this giant fish does what? Does what? Swallow. He's swallowed by a giant fish. Look at the scripture. Oh, don't go there yet. Don't go there yet. Oh, you already got it. We'll get there. This giant fish swallows him. Now, this is where people say, oh, this is a metaphor. I believe there was a giant fish that swallowed Jonah, all right? I believe that. I believe that's what the Bible says. I'm satisfied. God's never lied. God doesn't stretch the truth. God tells nothing but the truth. I don't know, this giant fish swallowed Jonah, all right? Now, I've been swallowed by a giant fish, all right? It's Monstro at Disneyland in Storybook, okay? You sail right into Monstro. He sneezed so hard he blew his tail off. That's the story as you go into Monstro at Disneyland. Yeah, so, you know, I don't understand that. They haven't found that fish yet. It might have been the only one there ever was. I don't know. But this fish swallowed Jonah. Now, Jonah's, I don't know about you. I mean, this is messed up. And it's getting worse. I mean, you're on a boat, you're running, you're on a boat, now you're in the belly of a fish. You know, when you hit rock bottom, what do? When you can't dig anymore and you're on the bottom, what do? You turn to God. Guess what Jonah did? Turns to God. Turns to God. We call it repenting. We call it, God, I surrender. I give up. I'm going to tell you, you know, if you can't hide in the belly of a fish from God, where can you hide? Yeah. And so Jonah repents, returns his life to God. Says, God, I'll do whatever you say. I give up. I surrender. I'm yours. And the fish does what? Vomits Jonah up on the shore. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. Now, I want you to think about this. I didn't catch this at first, but as I read this over, and I read this over, and I read this over again, that sounds good. He got out of the belly of the fish, but he was vomited up. I don't want to gross you out, but he's sitting in vomit still. I mean, it's not like, oh, man, I'm done. I don't think he came out all showered and clean, all right? You know, when you're messed up, it messes you up. He's sitting there out of that belly of fish on dry land, and he's still messed up. We mess up our life. We're messed up, and it's just part of life. But God comes to Jonah again. Now, I think Jonah's a smart man, all right? You need to understand this. I think Jonah's real smart. God comes and says, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says no, goes the other way. God does a few little things in his life, big things maybe, comes out. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. What do you think Jonah's going to say this time? Any got an idea? He's going to say what? He's going to say yes. Look at the scripture. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, go, and Jonah went. He got a second chance. He got a second chance. Here's what I want to talk about this morning. What does this have to say about us? This is what I want you to think about this morning. What does this have to say about the church? What does this have to say about me as a Christian? Because Jonah was a man of God who was serving God. And yet he lived this messed up life. And I showed you that video, and you've seen Moses, you've seen Abraham, you've seen Peter, you've seen King David. You see all these guys. We need to step back and see our lives and realize we're messed up. See, I think this is where the struggle comes when the world looks in on the church. They're looking in on the church to see perfect people. And when they look out on the church, they don't see perfect people. They see messed up people like Gary. You know, Gary, who won't put a Christian symbol on his car. Gary, who gets angry sometimes. Gary, who gets frustrated. Gary, who calls people idiots on the road. The teenagers hear that all the time when they ride with me. They see that, and it's kind of like, well, I thought you were a what? A Christian. I think we need to kind of step back and portray the true church to the world. Here's what I'm going to advocate through this series of messages. That we need to step up and admit we're messed up. That we need to step up and admit that, you know what? I got issues. I got problems. I got struggles. We need to step up and look at our lives. And so that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to just kind of talk about this. And so here's my first point. You got your outline. I want to put it this way. I need to face the fact I'm messed up. I need to face the fact I'm messed up. No perfect people allowed in church. See, the world sees the church and they think we should be perfect. We're not. But the problem is, we're not willing to admit I'm messed up. Are you willing to say I'm messed up? Are you willing to say I have issues? Now, your issues and mine may be different. But we all have issues. We're all messed up. You know, that's what the Bible says. Look at what the scripture says. I mean, this makes it real plain. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All means what? All. Now, I'm not talking, and what's interesting, it's not just talking about people who don't know Jesus. See, we read this verse all the time, and we think about those outside the church. You know, we think of our neighbor who doesn't go to church. We think of our coworker who rejects and says they're an atheist. And we look at them, and yeah, they're sinners, and we think about them. But that verse is not talking about them all only. It's talking about us, because we're all messed up. We're all sinners. It's different. It's not the same. But we're all, every one of us is a sin. There's heart issues. There's relationship issues. There's personal issues. There's attitude issues. I'm sure none of you ever gossip, right? Nobody ever gossips, right? None of you guys ever gossip. Any anger issues out here? Anybody got anger issues? Unforgiveness? I'm sure nobody here ever tells a white lie. Nobody stretches the truth. See, most of us, we think about sin, we think about all those big things. Hatred. Overspending. Did you know overspending's a sin? We worry about all these things and we wrestle with this and, you know, it's always them out there. See, I think what we need to do as a church and what the church needs to do, I'm not talking about just ours, I'm talking about Christianity and the church, that we need to portray the true fact. This week, as I was praying and going over the message and thinking about what God is up to, you know, I keep coming to that phrase. I've read the book and I've shared the book, some of the ideas in the book with you in the past. It's they love Jesus, but they're not so sure about the church. And I kind of figured out why. This week, as I was praying and thinking about it, I figured out why. You know why they can love Jesus and not the church? Because Jesus was perfect and we're not. But the problem is we don't say we're not. See, we put on this image of being a Christian. And we want to portray this Christian image. Look what the scripture says. We got one more here. Oh, look at that. I had to get my picture in there somewhere. Practically perfect people, me and Mary Poppins. You need to know something. I put that there just to have fun, but I'm not even practically perfect. Not perfect, not even practically perfect. I found that picture and I had to use it. Yeah. But look at the scripture. What's this next scripture say? If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Here's the battle, and this is we as Christians need to stand up to the truth that, you know what, we still battle sin. We're not free from sin. This through this series of men, next week I'm going to get into this idea, and it was really amazing this week. One of the ladies I had met goes to church. Mark Kurtz is her pastor. I had met her at a conference. We were talking. I just finished a book, and she was asking me some questions about it. Because we have this image, and next week you're going to hear this a lot, where we used to, here's what we used to talk about. You behave, you believe, and then you belong. You behave in a certain manner. You change your life. You behave. You start going to church. You behave. Then you cross that line, and you believe, and then you belong. The challenge is, and I think here's the challenge, and it's a really great conversation starter, that you know what? We need to belong because we're all messed up. And when we start belonging, then we can believe. And then when I believe, I can behave. See, I think we need to kind of realize that, you know, as Christians, we battle sin. But see, we hide that. We're not willing to admit that. And I just want to, are you willing to face the fact that you're messed up? Now, yours are different than mine. I want to make sure you understand that yours is different than mine. Many of you don't have a problem driving down the highway with all these different drivers. You don't have a problem putting a Christian sticker on your car. You know? But where's your battle? Where's your challenge? How do you approach that, and what are you going to do about it? Now, here's what I want to make sure you understand. When I'm talking about sin, I'm talking about being messed up. The Bible has a great conversation in this area. I'll challenge you. Here's what I want you to do this week. For this whole series of messages this week, I want you to read 1 John. Write that down, 1 John. I want you to read 1 John. It's 5 chapters. Read one chapter tonight, one chapter tomorrow, and you can read it. You can read one chapter a night, take you more than 5-6 minutes, one chapter a night for 5 nights in a row, and you'll read the whole book, all right? Because this is a great book on this concept, and you got to realize he's writing to the church. Jonah was a man of God who fled God, said, I believe in God, said, I want to serve God, and yet still ran from God. I don't think we understand that. But here's what I want to make sure you understand as you look at the book, because here's the different thing. This is what's so exciting about God's word. Look at this passage with me right here. My dear children, I write this letter to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a helper in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, the one who does what is right. Listen, John is sitting here writing. Circle those two words, sin, in there. And here's what John is sitting here saying. John is sitting here saying, I don't want you to sin, not even once. All right? I don't want you to occasionally sin. If you look at that word, there's a little blank there. That word you need to put in there is occasional. Just to kind of give you a little Greek lesson, it's called an aorist. It's punctiliar action. One, it's in the past. I did it. John sits there and says, I don't want you to sin. You do not sin if you're a child of God. Do not sin, not even once. But if you do sin occasionally, Jesus Christ is there as your intermediary. He took your sins away. But there's another passage in John I want you to look at, and it goes into this next thing. Look at the scripture. And again, I need you to circle the words. So anyone who lives in Christ does not go on sinning. Anyone who goes on sinning has never really understood Christ and has never known him. Now, see, some read that and say, well, if you sin, you're going to lose your salvation. You never knew Jesus. What this is saying, and here's the word you need to write in those blanks this time, is continual, habitual action. See, those are verbs. That first one is a sin. That's called an aorist tense. This is called the present tense. If you continually, habitually sin, if you have a habit of sinning, you have a problem. We're messed up, but our messed up should be the occasional sin. All right? It's what happens occasionally in our lives. It's not a habit. It's not something I do every day. You know, I'm really honest with you. I wrestle with that. I do not get mad at every driver that drives. I pray about that. I pray about my attitude. I pray about how I wrestle with that. But I don't have sin over here. You know, one of the conversations to me that's really interesting, I take these surveys all the time, and I've kind of shared this with you. And one of the surveys says, do you mind targeted advertising on your computer? It's called cookies. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know about cookies on your computer? They can monitor what you're searching and kind of target their advertisement to you. And it says, do you think that's bad? And I tell them no. Because you know what most advertisements on mine are with that flash across my screen? Can anybody guess what those are going to be? Disneyland. Yeah. And I don't mind that. Because you know what? If that's not what's coming up there, you know what comes on most of the time? Half-naked women. Anybody know? Is it just my computer? You guys are really quiet. Single, looking for, I don't know, but I get those. Anybody? Is it just me? I mean, am I a pervert or what? It says single, you know, and I mean, and that's why I love it when I see Disney there, because I know it's nothing else. Because I don't care who you are. If you're a guy, now come on, you guys, if you're going to be honest with me, if you're a guy and you're sitting there on your computer and over here on that little sidebar, some girl comes up flashing a little bit of more cleavage than she should, don't tell me your eyes don't go over there. Guys, you're lying if you do. I mean, you can't help it. Yeah. It's like, oh, sorry. Yeah. We all battle sin. Now, come on, admit we're messed up. But it shouldn't be a continual habitual action in our life. We're going to fall. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. But we got to admit it. I think this is what the world needs to hear. That not only are they sinners, but we're sinners and we're fighting the same battle, but we just got God on our side. I'm going to give you a really good word. Write it here and you're going to hear this over and over and over. Matter of fact, you already heard it twice in the songs. The word is grace. Grace. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you at the end. I am saved by grace. Anybody know that? I am saved by grace. They quit talking about being saved by grace and start talking about living by grace. I live every day by grace because I'm messed up. I need God's grace every single day because my battle is I don't want sin to become continuous habitual action in my life. I'm occasionally going to say things. My attitude. My anger. It was really interesting driving across. We drove across the state with our grandkids and all that, you know, in that 2 weeks I was off, gone. And I would say, trying not to, I'd say something about some driver's lack of skills. And my grandkids would say, you're mad. You're angry. And I'm going, I'm not angry. They're just stupid. And they couldn't, you know, and it's like, I got to, you know. They see stuff, and it's like, I got to watch that. And it's a battle. I don't know about you, but that's the battle for me. And we need to see that. But I'm not the only one. Look at this passage here, and you've heard this passage. I want you to see this. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's a long one. Stay with me. But it's a powerful message in this passage. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm not spiritual. This is Paul. I'm trying to be a Christian. Let me summarize that very first phrase. I am trying to serve God. I want to be a man of God. That's what Paul's saying right there. I want to be a man of God. I want to be spiritual, but I'm not. Since we sin rules as if I were its slave. I do not understand the things I do. I do not want to do what I do. I do the things I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, the hate things I do, that means I agree that the law is good. But I am not really the one who is doing these things, these hated things. It is sin living in me that does them. Yes, I know that nothing good lives in me. I mean, nothing good lives in the part of me that is earthly and sinful. I want to do the things that are good, but I do not do them. I do not do the good things I want to do, but I do the bad things I do not want to do. So if I do the things I do not want to do, then I am not the one doing them. It is sin living in me that does these things. This is Paul. Most of the New Testament written by. He's sitting there saying, I'm messed up. And he's admitting it. How many of us as Christians have really ever admitted that we're sinners? Even as Christians, even as men of God, even as a woman of God. That I still have battles. That I still have struggles. See, I think that's what the world needs to hear. That, you know what? Yeah, I'm a Christian. But I'm not there yet. I'm not where I need to be. So I put it this way. If you look at your outline, I need to say yes to God's glorious grace. Even as a Christian, I need to say yes to God's glorious grace. All right? It's every day. Look at the scripture right here, would you? But if we confess our sins, we've got to go back. But if we confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins because we can trust God to do what is right. He will cleanse us from all the wrongs we have done. We got to confess our sin. We need to live in the grace of God, even as Christians. This message and this series of messages have been sitting on my heart for a while because it's, how do we look at others and how do we wrestle with this and how do I live this Christian life because I'm messed up and I'm going to mess up. I need to experience God's grace every day. I need to acknowledge this. I think what the world needs to see is true Christianity in the battle that we fight, openly and honestly with our battles, our frustrations, the things in our life. We got to stay. But see, I think this is where the problem comes. I think this is where the issues come because we don't. We hide. We put these masks on. You know, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a pastor. You know, I'm doing God's will. And we're not open with that turmoil that's in our hearts and in our minds and in our life. That messed up part of us that we try to conceal. You know, and what's so amazing is it's so easy to see it in others. And to ignore it in ours. Anybody know that one? You know, it's so easy to see that in others. And so here's what I want to put it this way. Drop the mask of pretentiousness. Don't you? I had to put a big word in there. Don't you like that? I wrestled with what word to use. Because this is my thing. Face the fact. Accept God's grace. And drop that mask of pretentiousness. So I gave you a definition. Look at the definition. Pretentiousness. Full of pretense or pretension. That really defined it well, didn't it? Characterized by the assumption of dignity or importance. making an exaggerated outward show ostentatious. You ever see Christians that act like that? Anybody? Yeah. Do we sometimes as Christians put on this characteristic that I'm dignified, I'm a Christian. I even wore a suit this morning. Yeah. See, I think as Christians, we need to step back and be honest, not just with ourselves, but with the world. That, you know what? I'm fighting this good fight. I want to finish this course. I'm going to finish. We can't assume it. I want to ask you, are you messed up? Are you wrestling with the things in your life? Is it continuous or is it occasional? How do we fight these battles? How do I live these battles? Look at this next scripture here with me. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. The writer of most of the New Testament says, I'm the chief of sinners. The writers of the most of the New Testament says, I do what I do not want to do. I do the things I hate. Have you ever in your life looked at your life and wondered why I did that stupid thing? You ever wonder, what was I thinking? You ever fight those? I mean, this is what Paul is sitting there saying. I'm wrestling with this. It's hard. Look at this next passage. I like this. Look what it says. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. That's in the Message Bible. I like the way it said that. Hey, surrender to God's grace. That's what I want to say. Surrender to God's grace. Admit it's messed up, and I want to do what's right, and I'm trying to do what's right, but I mess up. Being honest with yourself. But see, I think the pretentiousness comes when we're not honest with others. See, we put this mask on because I'm a Christian now. And I want to challenge us to drop that mask. There's relationship issues. I don't know about you, but there's relationship issues. Anybody got family you struggle with? Anybody besides me? You got family issues, and broken relationships and unforgiveness. How about spiritual issues? Some spiritual issues, that we just battle that. Those Christians we don't like, there's some Christians we don't like. And some spiritual issues, maybe a little judgmental. Maybe a little critical. Those spiritual issues. Maybe there's just that stupid stuff that we do in our lives. Alcohol, drugs. Just that stupid stuff we do. We're messed up, and we need to step back and see this. I mean, there's lust, there's greed, there's anger, there's envy, there's unforgiveness, there's gossip, there's, We always worry about the big ones. I'm not going to have an affair. I'm not going to murder anybody. I'm not going to, and then these little ones, that's little. The little white lie. And those little things in our lives. So I want to close with this passage here. And it's really about salvation, but I want to go deeper. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not on your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You're saved by grace. I want to challenge you to live by grace. Face the fact you're messed up. Just face the fact. You can try to hide it. If you don't think you are, some of you, anybody here married? Anybody? Anybody married? If you don't think you are messed up, ask your spouse. They'll help you. I mean, I'm sure they will gladly help you out, all right? They will gladly help you out there. Kids, if you're, if you want to know yours, just ask your mom or dad. They're more than willing to help you out. Because we're messed up. I want the church to have a great impact. We're going to finish our church. We're going to have a great building shortly. It's going great. But you know, if we walk into that building, you know what? We're going to walk into that building. It's going to be a perfect building. It really will be. But once we cross that threshold, it won't take us long to mess it up. It won't take long to mess it up. You know, because we're messy people. I want the world to know that. That come as you are, mess and all. Even if the fish just spit you up, come as you are. But don't stay that way. Don't stay that way. The whole series of mess, we're going to have three sermons. I'm working on a fourth. I'm hoping to get to. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because if I can't get it the way I want it, I'm not going to bring it. So I'm hoping to have a fourth one that's really a challenge for me. So I'm hoping to get there. But here my whole point is, what the bottom of your page, if you look at it, this is what I want us to say all 3 weeks of this series of messages. I want to drill this in. If you look at the bottom of your page, grace for me, for you, for all of us. Do you have that grace? We are messed up, and we're a messed up people. There's only been one perfect person, and they nailed him to a cross, and we're not there. Will you admit it? Will you drop that mask of pretentiousness so the world can see that we battle, that we're fighting the fight, that we can stand with Paul and say, I love Paul. I do this, and I don't want to do this, and he wrestles with all of that. He says, I'm the chief of sinners. And then in the end, he goes like this, I want to fight the good fight. So when I get to heaven, I'll hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. I messed up, but I'm going to fight the fight and live by grace so I can hear, well done. Not because I'm perfect, but because the perfect one died for me and gave me grace. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you're a God who loves us even when we're messed up. As a matter of fact, while we were messed up, you died for us. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, I pray your grace upon every life that is here, that the battles that they fight, personal, relational, spiritual, that you will touch their hearts, strengthen them, bless them from above, and let your grace flow into their life, that they may stand strong and fight the good fight and finish the course and hear their words, well done, my good and faithful servant. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our practice at church to give an invitation. Invitation is real simple. It's a time when you have to make a decision. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. And I'm just here to stand here for you. And maybe God has spoken to you, and maybe you've been trying to hide from God. I don't know. Maybe you've been hiding from God. Maybe you've got sins you've been hiding. Maybe you've got attitudes. Maybe you've got anger. Maybe I don't know. Maybe you've just been hiding from God. Maybe you've been needing to join the church. Maybe you've been needing to get baptized. Maybe you've been needing to cross the line of salvation and just say, God, I need to accept you into my heart. I need to accept you into my life. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. And you've been running from that. And maybe today's the day you need to say, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm going to step up. I'm going to stand up on the grace of God. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what path you're traveling, but I'm here to minister. I'm here to share with you. I'm as messed up as anyone else in this church. But we're going to stand strong as a people of God. And I'm just here to pray with you, to join you on your journey, and to be part of what God is doing. Don't run. You can't hide. And God's arms are open wide. Come to Jesus. He's your Savior. Let's stand and sing the song. As you stand, you come as the Spirit leads.